Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast. This is Patty Valenzuela, the senior pastor of Ignite Movement Church in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for joining me. I hope this helps you and encourages you and helps you become all that you were created to be. Enjoy the message. Hey, welcome to my podcast, everybody. It's Patty Valenzuela with you. I am really thrilled to do this podcast. I wanted to do a short question and answer podcast for those of you that had submitted some of those questions. Really good questions, by the way, that were submitted and that have been coming in. We're so glad. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for all of you that have been supporting this podcast. Many of you have testified how it's been such an incredible asset, tool, if you will, for each and every one of you, for your spiritual walk. Many people have shared with me how just even driving to work and listening to the podcast has been very testimonial-wise. It's been a big help to many of you. I heard one testimony recently about a girl who was actually taken to by an ambulance because she had an anxiety attack, and she listened to my podcast on fear, and she was actually set free from the spirit of fear. So we are so happy, and we just thank the Lord for what he's doing through these podcasts. But we want to welcome you. Thanks to everybody who submitted those questions. Keep your questions. Please keep them coming in. Also, you can go and check out my blog and my book, my website. Go and connect, because I do blogs every once in a while. I do have a book that you can go and check it out and read. And I do have a website, which I'm constantly putting these short clips of either our preachings or just things that the Lord lays in my heart, whether it be a prophetic word and whatnot. So super excited. But thanks again. So I want to answer maybe three questions, and some of them will turn into an actual podcast because there were such good questions. But I do want to answer a few. Somebody asked the question, what is the art of preaching? What goes on behind the scenes to get such powerful sermons? They wanted to know how I put my preachings together. They wanted to know how I put a sermon together. And so to answer the question, when I study in my private time, which I love to study, I'm a bookworm. I love to read books. I'm currently reading four books right now at the same time. I love to study. I love to read. I think that it's so important for us to continually study. And when I study, I don't study to get a preaching out of it. I never study so that I can put together a message for the church. When I study, I study for myself. I study because I want to change. And so as I'm reading the Word of God, as I'm studying through His Word, maybe a story that the Lord puts in my spirit, and I just begin to study it. For example, say the book of Kings, the Lord lays it in my heart, or maybe even the book of Joshua, the Lord lays that in my heart. And there'll be a time where God will lay something in my heart, and I'll just begin to study it. And as I study it, it isn't to produce a preaching. It is for me to bring change in my own personal life. And as I study the Word, it's never so that I can release some powerful quote-unquote message or for the next revelation to release over the people. Truth be told, every time I study, it's for me. It's because God is speaking directly to my heart. Because God wants to produce something in me. He wants to make a deposit inside of my spirit. He's speaking to me about something, whether it be an alignment, whether it be something that he's dealing with me about, something that he wants to cut away, circumcise in my heart, my spiritual walk, or something that he wants to deposit inside of me, a revelation that he wants to give me. And so many times when I'm studying, it is never just for a preaching sake. It is always for my own personal sake. And out of that evolves preachings. Many times I'll be studying scriptures, and all of a sudden something will stick out, something that maybe I've read before, but I perhaps bypassed it. But there'll be a word, and then from that word, I study it, I define it, and then it evolves into this message, something that is illuminating me that perhaps I didn't see before. And so the Word of God sometimes comes into our lives and it just brings this revelation, something that we did not see before. And all of a sudden it just sticks out to you. And from there, a preaching will start to evolve. Sometimes when I have a message, somebody asks the question, how do you know what message to give the people? Well, I could best describe it as, let's say your body is, you eat clean and you eat healthy. Your body automatically tells you what you need. Sometimes you'll crave tuna. There's times where I'm craving tuna. If I'm eating very clean and I'm staying away from fatty foods, sugary foods, and I'm eating very clean, all of a sudden my body will crave tuna because the body will crave what it needs. And so sometimes God will stir up something in my spirit so that I can release it to the people because that's exactly what they need to eat for that season in their lives. And so it's nothing mystical. You know, preachings, people have asked me, how do you know what preaching to give? Sometimes I'll have three messages and I'm between three messages. And all of a sudden, before I know it, one will really stick out to me. So that's how I put messages together. The next question that I'd like to answer, somebody asked the question on identity. But I think that that's such a, I can't answer that question. I think that it's going to become a podcast, actually. So stay tuned for that. We're going to release that very soon. Somebody also asked the question, how to show people the love of God? How do you show people the love of God? First of all, you have to be perfected in the love of God. If you're not perfected in the love of God, you can't show people the love of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love is actually the fruit of the Spirit. It's actually a fruit that we should bear. We should all have that fruit, loving others and loving ourselves, loving God, obviously, first and foremost. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so when you love the agape love, it allows you to overlook the faults of others. So how do I love others is easy when you have the fruit of love, because love allows you to overlook offense, overlook what somebody did to you. And so we were actually, when God created us, we were created to love. When God created us to such an extent that we were not called to hate. We were called to love. And so it's important because throughout life, truth be told, people will hurt us, offend us. People will do things to us that are make it difficult, if you will, to love them. And so it's important for us to process correctly when we've been hurt. And when you have that fruit of love and you have the agape love and you've been perfected in love, or you're being perfected in the love of God, you have to make sure that you're being processed correctly when you are hurt. And when somebody hurts you, when somebody offends you, when somebody, or you walk through a trauma and somebody does something to you, because most of the time, hurt, if you look at somebody who's been hurt, that hurt can actually be produced into bitterness. If you're not careful, it can be produced even into rage or murder. It's even the seed of murder. It can turn into lesbianism. It can turn in even to perversion. And so when we don't have, or we are not perfected in the love of God, we have fear. And fear is the opposite of love. Now, fear was born in the garden when Adam was hiding, the Bible says. And so we are normally, if you look at society, even in your own life, perhaps you're listening to me, we normally are not people that have been loved well. And we don't know the model of God's agape love many times. We grew up in a certain atmosphere, environment, culture, tradition, family, a way that we grew up perhaps was not typical to love or normal to love. But God's love is not carnal. It's really a supernatural thing, and it's a spiritual thing, and it is a fruit that God gives us. God's love cannot really totally be understood, but it is something that must be accepted by God. The love of God, when you live in that atmosphere of the love of God, you should let it hit you every single day, because when you live there, it's easy to love others. It's easy to forgive. And so I encourage you to answer your question. You have to let the love of God hit you every single day to be perfected in that love. And the last question that I'm going to answer on this podcast is the prophetic. Somebody wanted to know about the prophetic. They wanted to know about prophetic worship and the prophetic call. There is an office of the prophet, to answer your question, and then there is also the prophetic. prophetic is not, and even the prophetic worship, you know, if you're a worship leader, or maybe you're in worship and you want to enter into the prophetic worship, the prophetic in itself, the prophetic is the prophetic, whether it's prophetic worship, or you're going to give a prophetic word to somebody, or you want to know what the prophetic word is for the season of your life, or for future tense, or whatnot. But it's not a mystical thing. The prophetic is not something mystical. The prophetic is should be part of our lives. It's not something that is mystical. If you look at the life of Jesus, he was a prophetic person. He was sometimes, he went to Samaria to speak to the Samaritan woman. That is a prophetic act. He actually went to Samaria because he needed to go and speak and release a word to one woman. Sometimes you'll see Jesus and you see a woman that was at the feet of Jesus and she's washing his feet. And that was also a prophetic moment. Sometimes you see Jesus and he was in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. In other words, that Jesus lived a prophetic life. He was a prophetic man and he lived a prophetic life. And so the prophetic is the spirit of prophecy. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, that the prophetic, the spirit of prophecy, is what testifies about Jesus. Think about that for a moment. And so the prophetic testifies about Jesus. So there were prophetic moments to Jesus's life. So anytime you are doing the right thing at the right time, in the right place, you're doing the right thing. That is a prophetic thing. God asked Jesus to go to certain places, whether it be in a boat, whether it be talking to the multitudes, whether it was an act where he multiplied the fish and the bread. That was a prophetic thing. It was a prophetic moment. And so the prophetic, the spirit of prophecy, when we live by that spirit of prophecy, it testifies about Jesus. In other words, everywhere we go, we're doing what God is telling us to do. It's not necessarily just a word that you are releasing to somebody. But if I'm at the right place at the right time, it is a prophetic act. It is a prophetic thing. It is a spirit of prophecy. And prophetic worship is basically the same thing. 1 Chronicles chapter 25 testifies about the tabernacle of David. And there were times where David would actually schedule a prophetic moment, a prophetic worship. He would actually practice prophetic worship. And so the more you do it, the better you become at it. The more you practice it, the better you become at it. So even David had a school of prophetic worship. He practiced prophetic worship. So whether it be prophetic worship or just releasing a prophetic word or having and carrying the spirit of prophecy is really key. And it's really just doing the right thing at the right time, releasing the right word at the right time. And so prophecy is so powerful because it builds, it edifies, it warns, it corrects, it aligns, it foretells the future, it foretells current events, it affirms, it confirms. And so it's really important for us to step into a spirit of prophecy. So those were the questions that people asked, and there were so many more that I'm going to go ahead and release in podcast form because it is extensive and I cannot answer it in 2 minutes. So I will be doing those podcasts soon. Thank you so much for your questions. I encourage you to please keep submitting your questions. They were very, very powerful questions. And I know that there's a lot that the body of Christ needs to have knowledge and illumination in. So thank you so much. Thank you for joining me in this short podcast. And I hope that I was able to be an instrument and a tool to enlighten you and bring illumination into your life. Again, I want you to connect with me on my Instagram, on my Facebook, and you can go and check out some of the blogs that I've written and some of the preachings that you can actually purchase through those through the Instagram. Go check us out. Thanks so much. I bless your life, and I just keep bringing in those questions, and I promise you I'm going to answer them. So blessings to each and every one of you, and you have a great, great day.
Hello, this is Saul, producer of the APV podcast. Make sure you go online to podcast.ignitemovement.org to hear episodes that have been archived.